Why do you like Rick Martel so much?
Because Rick Martel, that's the wrestling I grew up with. Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.
And today, we're going to do something we didn't want to do, we did not intend to do, but it must be done.
I got to tell you, Heath, I'm so mad. I don't know whether to crap or go blind. So I think I'm just going to close one eye and poot.
When we started this show, we did not want it to become like so many other shows that just week in and week out whine and complain about the current product. Because those shows, even some of my favorite shows that I listen to, I feel like the host every week just rehashes the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we have not done that over the last 8 months, we're going to get it all out today.
Because we think we got a right to.
That's right. We have paid money. I am a stockholder in World Wrestling Entertainment.
I demand answers.
Yes. Yes, and I think I speak for everyone.
I think I speak for everyone here when I say, gentlemen, you suck right now.
So here's what we're going to do. No stone is going to be left unturned. But before we do that, kind of the person that inspired this, he's the topic of this week's gimmick table. Mark, tell them what's on the gimmick table this week.
This week, coming to us once again from the fine folks at Kayfabe Commentaries. Find them on the internet at kayfabecommentaries.com and shootinterviews.com. Breaking Kayfabe with Jim Cornette.
Uh-huh.
It's a pretty good series they do where they try to sit down with a guy. And most shoot interviews are out of character, but it's really, really out of character. I don't know a better way to describe right. it, but it's just another name for a shoot interview.
Yeah.
It's just something to market it as. This one is interesting because I'm going to recommend it with four chair shots for some people.
Right.
And zero chair shots for others.
Gotcha.
And there's a reason for that. If you're looking for stories about the Midnight Express or stories about the Rock and Roll Express feud or his time in WWE, or his time in Jim Crockett Promotions, or any of the things that he's sort of known for, then don't buy this.
Yeah.
You won't like it.
Right.
Because he doesn't talk about any of that stuff.
Right.
However, if you're interested in hearing him knock Russo, if you're interested in hearing him talk about his run in TNA and what he thinks went wrong and what he thinks went right, and what ultimately led to him leaving. If you want to especially hear about him talk about Ring of Honor.
Yes.
And the whole debacle when he went up there.
Yeah.
And how it was just a chore from day one for him to do business with them. And the way they had their business set up. And, and how it drove him nuts.
Yeah.
Really. When he says on the back, I'm wrestling crazy.
Yeah.
And he goes in and he talks about his anger issues that he's had and how he's pretty much had to get away from the wrestling business for his own sanity. Because he hates Vince Russo because they have a difference of opinion about pro wrestling.
Right.
That's how serious he takes it. And there's more to it than that.
Right.
I mean, obviously. But, I mean, he loves wrestling so much that when he sees somebody making a mockery of it, he really takes it personal.
Yeah.
And he has a hatred for some people in the business just because he feels that they've hurt the business that he loves. He's out of the wrestling business now.
Yeah.
As he says himself, I'm not in the wrestling business anymore. I'm in the Jim Cornette business.
Yeah.
And
business is good.
And business is good based on what I saw. So there again, four steel chair shots if you're interested in that type of stuff. If you're looking for anything about Crockett or WWE or Midnight Express, don't get this one.
Right.
I've got some others for you eventually that we'll talk about. This dang fly. It's messing me up, man. But you won't be able to get the autographed copy that I have.
Right.
Well, maybe you can, because on Kayfabe Commentaries, I think they have some autographed stuff, but they usually sell out quick.
Now, let me ask you.
I didn't have to pay extra for the autograph. Right. But, you know.
People that may not know Jim Cornette outside the ring, this would not be, I'm assuming, this would not be a DVD you pop in with your family on a Sunday afternoon.
No. No. And I'm going to tell you the truth. Yeah. If you are a dyed-in-the-wool Republican or a Christian and you are easily offended
right.
by people who disagree with you,
yeah,
because a lot of people get butthurt when people don't agree with them. He's one of them.
Right.
He doesn't like it if people disagree with him about his beliefs either.
Right.
I don't care.
Right.
If we believe the same way about stuff.
Right. So that kind of, I'm wanting to hear his take on certain things and his opinions on
I don't want my entertainers to be politicians, and I don't need my politicians to be preachers, and I don't need my preachers to be politicians. I just need people to be who they are and do their own thing.
Yeah.
I don't care
right.
what somebody's religious beliefs or political beliefs. I don't care about that kind of stuff. Right. But if it bothers you that he is going to knock the Republicans and he's going to knock the Christians, then you don't need to watch it.
Right.
Even if you want to hear about that other stuff. If you can't handle that going in, then don't watch it.
Right.
Because you will be offended.
Yeah, yeah. Because he, on no issue does Cornette pull any punches.
No, he don't care what you think. Yeah, he does not care. Now, he was not like that at the Fan Fest.
No.
Because he realized, I guess he's there making money. He doesn't care. You know, if you're Christian money or atheist money, he just, as long as your money's green.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of making money, hey, we'll have a banner for this. If you're interested in it, Mark recommends it to some fans, and to some fans he doesn't. But if you click on that banner, you can help us make just a little bit.
Right. Because we're not in the wrestling business. We're in the Heath and Mark business.
And business is strong.
Yeah, business is not good. Business is not picking up.
So, all right. Thanks, Mark. Again, that's the Breaking Kayfabe interview with Jim Cornette. Again, hosted by Sean Oliver of Kayfabe Commentaries. Hey, check it out. So to start off this special edition of the show, Mark.
But this ain't going to be no very special episode like those sitcoms in the 80s.
No, where they went 45 minutes and 90 minutes.
And maybe it was a to be continued.
Right.
We're going to try to get it all out.
Yes, because it's been building up. And what set it off this morning was the very mention of the name. Just a man's name, Mark. What did you say this
just
morning?
Well, just so everybody understands, we sat down, cut the microphones on, did our sound check to talk about a completely different topic.
Yes.
And in my sound check, Heath said, just keep talking. So I brought a name up. And we said, you know what? Let's just scrap the other show that we were going to do, and let's just rant about some things that's been bothering us a little bit, because we both got a few things that have been bugging us. And we thought, let's just go ahead and talk about them right now, get them out. The name that I said was Vince Russo.
Vince Russo.
Did you see the letter? He's apparently writing an open letter to Vince McMahon
every week.
I don't know if it's every week.
Goodness
but
gracious.
It is. I mean, if you want to see a delusional idiot trying to point out to other people where they're stumbling in the dark, you need to read these open letters. The one this week was based on, and I'll be honest with you, I am 2 weeks Raw free.
Right. I have not watched Raw
now
in about a month.
Full disclosure, I am a Dean Ambrose fan.
Yes.
So I have DVR'd Raw, and I watched what Dean Ambrose just... I just watched the promo. I didn't even watch the matches. I just watched his promo. In 2 weeks, that's all I've watched was Ambrose's promo.
Yeah.
So apparently they had a tag match where Cena and Orton or somebody, and they were all involved, and Rollins was there, or Rollins wasn't there. But Russo's idea was, why not make it a handicap match?
Right.
Add Rollins to the mix, and hey, while you're at it, why not have Triple H say, in the interest of fairness, we're going to put the Money in the Bank contract on the line in this match. You still get the same finish, and it raised the stakes of the match to include. If you're writing a letter to somebody about making your wrestling program logical,
yeah,
and your big idea is to do something illogical, yes. maybe you just need to shut up and quit talking about wrestling.
Yes.
Why in the world would Triple H and Stephanie McMahon and Seth Rollins put his Money in the Bank contract up in a match
to give
John Cena the opportunity to win the cup? Why would they do that? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Right now,
in my life, but since I read that letter last night, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
I mean, does he not understand the authority's goal is to control all the cards, to control all the scenarios, to make it harder for people to win the cup?
The point is, we got Seth Rollins in our pocket. If things aren't going the way we want it to go, we can pull that out, beat somebody down, and he wins the title. That's the point of him having it. Why would they put the title up or put the contract up? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
To me, if you ask Vince Russo, he thinks that he is the author, creator, and perfecter of the Attitude Era. And in my opinion, he is the luckiest man in wrestling history because he came into that position. Look at the talent he had to work with.
Yeah.
Let's just boil it down. Do you know who made the Attitude Era, Mark? I don't know if you do. It was Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say it. Pete, if you're listening to this, you disagree with me. If there is no Stone Cold Steve Austin in the WWE during that time, the Monday Night War, the Attitude Era, it may start, but it doesn't get near as far. And if anybody started the Attitude Era, it wasn't even WWE, it was ECW, because WWE said, oh, they're doing some cool stuff.
Yeah.
Let's just copy them.
Let's just do that. Here's a little idea of the creative genius, and I don't know if I've ever told this story of Vince Russo. One of his many ideas that were shot down.
Right.
He had a great idea when DX and the Nation of Domination were feuding to... This is not me speculating.
Right.
I mean, this is the truth. And
yeah.
He said, you know what we should do is have a shoot. Now, a legitimate football game between the Nation and DX, because that probably will get DX over. Let me explain something to you about who was in DX.
All right.
X-Pac.
Right.
Off the juice, 125.
Right.
I'm just calling it like it is.
Yes.
Without the needle in his butt. 125, 150 pounds tops.
Right.
All right. Road Dogg. Not an athletic specimen by any stretch of the imagination.
Great on the mic, though.
Right, right. Billy Gunn. Big athletic guy. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is he a football player? I don't know. Mm. Triple H. He's a muscle head. I don't think he is one fourth as tough as the character that he portrays on television.
Right. Right.
Okay. Against a legitimate.
You forgot Shawn Michaels, who only has one ACL.
Well, but he's not in DX at the time.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
And China.
Right.
Okay. Against.
Okay.
The Rock, who played for the University of Miami.
Yes.
Not Miami now. Okay. Miami when it was the U.
We're national champions.
Right, national championship, Miami. Ron Simmons legitimately was a Heisman Trophy candidate as a defensive player.
Yeah, college football Hall of Famer.
Has his jersey retired.
Yeah.
At Florida State University.
Yeah.
All right. Taking D'Lo Brown, I don't know his athletic background, taking the Godfather.
Right.
Out of it. I don't know his athletic background.
Yeah.
Mark Henry.
Oh!
An Olympic-level athlete. Vince Russo thought it would be a good idea to get DX over by putting him in a shooting football match. A football game. And I think it'll be flag football.
Right.
They won't be tackling each other.
It don't matter. I mean, you could take every, you could put The Rock and Ron Simmons out there to play a flag football match against the entire locker room, and they'd probably win.
What you just said to me, it, for me personally, sums up every bad quality about Russo, because here's the thing. He wanted to do it in a shoot style, which means, hey, we're going to make it seem like it's real.
No, no, no. Not make it seem like it's real. It's going to be a real football game.
But the thing is,
a football match.
No person in their right mind, and I'm talking about wrestling fans who are normal, and I'm talking about wrestling fans that still live with their mothers. Nobody in their right mind. Not somebody
you
like Bob.
You don't even need to be a wrestling fan.
No, I'm talking about, can you imagine the mainstream media attention to look at just the two teams walking onto the field, yes, and I'm supposed to believe that DX has a chance to win, and right, even if they score, I'm going to think that's rigged.
Right.
And the whole right point of wrestling, and when it is at its best, and what got us into wrestling, is that suspension of disbelief. And in every single bit of Vince Russo's booking, it's always with a nod and a wink, there is no suspension of disbelief. I don't believe that you just buried Ric Flair in the middle of the desert. I don't believe that those two guys really need to climb a pole and get whatever's on the pole. I don't really believe that you tased Goldberg. I don't believe that. It's not logical. I don't love it. I wish this man would go away. I understand he's a born-again Christian. More power to him.
I don't.
God bless.
Listen, let me say something right now.
All right.
Okay? No offense.
Okay.
To you or to anybody who's listening who is a born-again Christian, that ain't an excuse to act like an
idiot.
You know, and it don't wash away. Look. You remember that scene in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, when he said, it's all good now, I've been washed away. And they go, well, that's good, but I'm afraid that the state of Mississippi is not quite as forgiving on our Lord and Savior. It don't wipe away
right
what you've done and how you've acted towards other people. You don't get to just say, well, yeah, I was kind of a jerk, but guess what? I'm a Christian now, so
well,
it's okay.
Well, no, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is,
oh, I know you're not saying
go
that.
Go find something else to do.
Right.
Leave my wrestling alone. For the love of God, yeah, let me have something in this life that is untainted by the hairy paws of Pyro Ballyhoo, Vince Russo. So he's writing a letter to Vince McMahon every week. I think that's going in file 42.
Yeah. I'm sure that Vince McMahon's going, hold on, guys.
Wait a minute.
I know that we've got to run this multi-million-dollar corporation here.
Yeah.
But Vince Russo's written me an open letter, yeah, and I need to read it. Listen, they haven't brought Vince Russo back for a reason.
Yeah, they let him go.
If he had something to offer creatively, they'd bring him back.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
No.
All he did was sit in on meetings and make suggestions to a genius.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, and I'm going to be honest with you. Based on the way things are looking now, I'm starting to question whether Vince McMahon's a genius.
Yes.
I think he was a visionary and a genius at one point. But he has a formula that worked for him, and he will not deviate from it now.
So let's go into the second rant, what you just said. So you say Vince McMahon's a genius. I don't dispute that. I believe, here's what I believe.
I say Vince McMahon was a genius.
Yes. I believe in the 80s he had a vision for the wrestling business.
No, he had a vision for the sports entertainment business.
Yes. And his vision has brought us to where we are now.
Right. Where there is, he has no vision anymore.
Right.
It's just the same thing. This worked, and this is the formula. So they're not, and I'm not the only person that's ever said this, but I have to be honest, I said this before I heard other people say it. Jim Cornette says this a lot. I thought this before I heard him say it, okay?
Right.
Used to, they held wrestling every Monday night in Greenville.
Yeah.
And you'd go every Monday night
right
to see what happens. Well, that was not just in Greenville. That was all over the country.
Yeah.
Not just on Monday nights, Monday to Sunday.
Yeah.
Wrestling was somewhere. 7 days a week. And the same people would go every week to see it. Well, then WWE comes along, and it's a spectacle. You know why nobody's a draw anymore? There's no, here's the main event. Right. Is because it doesn't matter what right. the main event is, because WWE is the main event. They are the Harlem Globetrotters
right.
and the Ringling Brothers of wrestling.
Yeah.
You won't go see the Harlem Globetrotters every week.
Right.
But you'll go see them once a year when they come to town.
Right.
You won't go to the circus every week, right. but you'll go once every year or two when they come to town.
Yeah.
And that's what WWE is now. They don't sell matches. They're a merchandising machine.
Yeah.
It's all geared to, that's why everybody's got a catchphrase. You can't just be Dean Ambrose. You got to be Lunatic Fringe. And it can't just be Roman Reigns. It's got to be the Roman Empire.
Because you got to put something on a t-shirt.
Right. They got a jingle for $9.99.
Yeah.
They got a theme song for how much the network cost. And that's just that's the stupidest thing I've heard.
Wait a minute, since you read
you're going to hear me say that a lot during this. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
I think that it started going downhill when the undercard guys are getting pyro and Jumbotron. Let's just put it, let's just throw it out there, Mark. Not everybody should get ring music. When Ric Flair, Starrcade 83, 2001 hits, it was special.
Yes.
Now, I mean, good gravy. I'm going to go to wrestling tonight. We're recording this, I don't know. Well, I don't even know. I really don't know what day it is. I'm so mad right now. My eyes are crossed. I'm going to wrestling tonight at the fair, and every one of those guys will have ring music, and that's fine, and I'll enjoy it. And any time that there's if there is a wrestling show within driving distance of where I live, I'm talking within 30 minutes. We're fortunate enough with there's some in town. I go to it because I love wrestling. The last show we went to was not the greatest show, but I am so desperate because I miss that. All right, it's Monday night. We're going to Greenville.
Yeah,
that, you know, that's gone from our, you know, just as during college football season, there's some people. Now, all around the country, they go to every Clemson game and they tailgate. Right. That's what wrestling was.
They get
was
there
for
first
me.
Thing in the morning, sit around, cook, talk to the
and
other
you
people.
Knew, like, you knew. When we go to Greenville, you knew where the wrestlers came in and you would kind of linger a little bit just to even see them.
Right.
Just to even see them. Now, we go to the Bond Secures Wellness Arena. I got no clue where they're going in. You're not going to get a glimpse of them.
They're
coming
in.
So. It's a different thing. Now, so what's wrong with the booking today? You talk about the formula. There might be some people listening right now who are like, well, I thought Monday Night Raw was spectacular.
Yeah, well, those people are idiots. If you listen to this and you think that damn wrestling bunny was spectacular,
right.
then you're an idiot.
Yes. Yes. That's not the wrestling we grew up with.
That's when I turned it. I'm telling you, I cut it off. One night, two things happened. First of all, they put two girls in the ring that shouldn't be allowed in the building.
Right, right.
I said it, and I mean it.
Yeah.
They're a disrespect and a disgrace to the wrestling industry. Cameron and Naomi.
Yeah.
When one of them had the other laid on her stomach.
Yeah, and tried to pin her.
And tried to pin her and said, count it, ref. She's on her stomach. Her shoulders are not. Her shoulders are completely opposite of where they're supposed to be. They're pointing toward the ceiling, and you're telling the referee to count it. They shouldn't be allowed in the building, much less get into the ring and wrestle a match in the sport that I love.
You got those two getting a spotlight match on Monday Night Raw, while you got Kenta and.
And Kevin Steen and Prince Devitt getting new names, and they took, I don't know, because I just saw a little clip of it. Everything good and cool and great about Prince Devitt was gone. He come out in a pair of white trunks with a generic name.
Well, the name he came, I read the story behind the name. And
I did too.
And I think if he came up with that name and that's the name he wants, then.
Well, that's fine. I get that.
Yeah.
But didn't he have on white trunks and white kick pads?
What I saw was black. I don't know.
Maybe it was. I saw something different.
It'll air in a couple weeks.
Yeah, and then I'll be able to rant about something before I know what I'm talking about.
But I totally. Oh, Yes, and a lot of the booking that I see today, it...
And let Ricochet go, by the way. Just so you understand, got Cameron and Naomi on there that don't know how to make a pinfall, and Ricochet, one of the greatest independent wrestlers out there right now, they passed on him.
Right.
They didn't want him.
Because he didn't have the look.
Yeah. I guess that means big fake boobs. I don't know what the look is.
I don't know either. I think...
I got a feeling, though, you got to stick a needle in your butt to get it. When's the last time you heard about anybody getting busted on their wellness policy? You think all of them are clean now?
They make it public.
It's not like they're hiding it. They agree. They said, when we do the wellness policy, we're going to publish the names of everybody who doesn't pass the wellness policy. And I don't remember anybody in the past year failing.
No, anything. I agree with you.
Anything.
I'm
not saying Triple H didn't get that jack for WrestleMania naturally. I'm not saying that he didn't.
Right.
But I ain't saying that he did either.
Right. And I think they put in the wellness policy.
By the way, I don't care.
Huh?
I don't care if they use steroids. I don't care. If that's what it's your body.
Right.
If you want to put...
If you want to get two fake hips...
Right, I don't care. That's your body. That's your life. That's how you make your living. I don't care if Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire did steroids to hit all them home runs. If my job is to hit the ball harder and run faster and run harder than everybody else, and you want to put something in your body that'll give you an edge over other people, that's your business. I don't care. Right. I'm not an advocate for a clean... athletic environment, and I know you and I are probably going to disagree on that. I don't care.
Right.
That's
right.
Not my business. Your right. job is to hit the ball hard to entertain me, and if your job is to be a big muscle head, then do what you got to do to be a big muscle head.
It's hypocritical to, in my opinion, and I remember 98, Mark McGwire chasing the home run deal, and you had to know the guy had forearms the size of a tree trunk.
Yeah, because I saw him in 84.
Right.
He was a skinny guy.
But people paid money. They paid the home run chase, Major League Baseball. That saved baseball after the strike in 94. Yeah. So you can't, if you're going to just put it out there, then you can't go back and be like, and that's kind of what WWE has done. They had the 80s Hulk Hogan. You talk about somebody who looks a lot different between 1984 and 2014. He must have took the EpiPen after he got stung by the bee.
Yeah, that's right. Because
he has shrunk. Now, what I would say to counter a little bit what you're saying is if my son's getting into wrestling, he's like, Dad, I'm not going to be able to make it unless I take steroids. I said, let's turn on this clip of Starrcade, whatever it was, 97, whenever Piper and Hogan wrestled. I'm like, all right, son, you want to take steroids? That's what you're going to look like in about 30 years right there. See, that one guy can't walk, this other guy can't walk, neither one of them can work. Is that the kind of wrestler you want to be in 30 years?
Right.
And that's what I would say, because you see the... it's so sad. You see the results of the abuse on somebody's body. And, oh my goodness.
Have you heard Jim Ross's interview with Magnum T.A. yet?
I have not.
Where Magnum T.A. tells the story of when he met Hercules Hernandez and how they both started just shooting up. He said he was trying to get to 300 pounds.
Yeah.
Magnum was, not right. Hercules. And he said he was up around like 270, 275.
Yeah.
And he walked in the locker room and Bruiser Brody gave him the best advice anybody had ever gave him. He said, there's no way you got that way. Naturally.
Yeah.
Are you going to be able to maintain that look? In order for you to do what you have to do to maintain that look for years, you're writing your own epitaph.
Yeah.
You are going to die early.
Right.
If you keep doing what you're doing. What you need to do is find a look that's manageable for you.
Right.
Where you don't have to keep these things injected in you every day.
Yeah.
You need to find, and he did, and he dropped, 30, 40 pounds which water weight is
right.
what it is.
Yeah.
It's not muscle.
No.
Really. I mean, it makes your muscles swollen looking.
Right.
And it is muscle.
But your muscles retain water.
It's a lot of water weight that you retain. And when you stop, like Hogan,
yeah.
when he stopped, I mean, he he looked like he shriveled. He was still a big guy, but he shriveled up.
Even if you go back, let's go 86 to 96 when he comes in as the third man of the NWO. It was sad looking.
Yeah.
When I saw Hulk Hogan in WCW, his name might have been Hulk Hogan, but he was not.
No, he was not a Hulk.
That was not Hulk Hogan.
But he's built like my father.
Right.
You know, with a little bit more muscular definition.
Yeah.
Anyway, I didn't want to get off on steroids.
No,
I just put it out there that I haven't seen anybody fail anything about anybody failing to
win. One of the refs did, and I thought that was interesting. I know in the last year one of the refs failed
for
well.
What?
I have no idea.
All right.
I have no idea.
Probably synthetic marijuana. Anyway.
But when you have some of your bigger stars like Randy Orton. Randy Orton has got two strikes. I mean, his next strike, he's done.
Yeah, for a year.
Yeah, and so it wouldn't surprise me if they'd kind of
say it out. We're not going to test him,
No. Get somebody else.
Yeah, get somebody else. Yeah, go test Zack Ryder. anyway, so the number one thing I saw was that Ridiculous Divas match.
Yeah.
And the second thing was when, I don't even know how much longer it was in the show. It might have been 10 minutes, might have been 30 minutes. I see a guy in a bunny costume come out.
Yeah.
And I said, that's it. And I turned the channel right then. And I sent a tweet. I don't know. I've heard he's watching.
Right.
This is the new story. Have you heard this?
Yes.
That Triple H is paying attention to what people are saying.
Yeah.
And that he's actually considering doing Ask Me Anything.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't know if he's going to do it on Reddit or WWE.com where you can ask him. And I tweeted to him because I know he doesn't care.
Right.
But I still did it just because I wanted him to know. I've been watching wrestling for 30 years, and if this is the best you got, I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah.
If all you can do is show me a guy in a bunny costume, I'm done.
So let me ask you this question. Is there an appropriate time where a guy in a bunny costume, is there any scenario in your mind where you could see a guy in a bunny costume and it makes sense and be part of a good storyline? Or is it just the fact that the bunny's been on there week after week after week?
To me.
Right.
For what I like.
Right.
No.
Right.
No.
Right.
I don't like sports entertainment.
Right.
I like pro wrestling.
Right. Right.
I don't like kiddie shows. I like watching two guys beat each other up.
Right.
So for me, no, there is no scenario when I'm ever going to find a rabbit in a bunny suit or a guy in a bunny suit entertaining.
See, I just
in a pro wrestling environment.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
Yeah. 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 I would kind of be on the fence with that. I mean, I think if you did it correctly, it's making sense in my head. I don't know how to say it.
I know what you mean. Like, if you're doing something, if it's good comedy, but it's not good comedy.
Right.
They don't know how to write good comedy. They're not comedians. They're not actors.
Right.
Most of them, they barely qualify as wrestlers because they don't even call them wrestlers now.
Right.
On the network, it says these guys are actors portraying a part.
Right.
Okay. They're not wrestlers anymore.
Yeah.
They're sports entertainers.
Right. Right.
Most of them barely qualify to be that.
Yeah. The thing that bothers me is about the current product is New Japan has proven that there is enough talent in the world to put on compelling matches, compelling storylines.
Their latest pay-per-view, the Destruction in Kobe, the main event was an Intercontinental title match.
Right.
The main event.
Yeah.
Was the Intercontinental title match, not the heavyweight title.
Yeah.
And it's an incredible match. It was an incredible show. I've watched not every match on the card, but I've watched all of the everything that got ranked at like three stars and above, I've watched.
Right.
And they were some incredible matches. And I'm kind of considering, why should I pay $10 a month to WWE to watch a crappy pay-per-view when I can pay $20 every 2 months to watch New Japan's pay-per-view, and I can pick a couple like Dragon Gate's iPay-per-views and Ring of Honor's iPay-per-views, and I can just watch those, spend the same money, and see a real pro wrestling show that's presented the way that I like it. But you need to scratch all of it.
so we have all these great workers in NXT now. All these great workers. You've got Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose. You have all
who
these...
are phenomenal, by the way. Right. And I said it earlier, and I'll say it again. I watch that on Raw. If Ambrose and Rollins are going to have a match or do something, I'm watching it because it's going to be good.
I have no... My complaints are not with the talent. I'm going to rant on TNA a little bit. My complaint is not with... I think in the history of wrestling, the talent is there.
Yeah, people there's some just good talent out there.
People need to say... Hey, I'm going to write this promo. I want you. No, no, no. Let the guy go out there and be himself. Again, we were talking about the Attitude Era. We were talking about Russo. Because Stone Cold ripped up what those guys were writing for him, and he went out there and cut a promo that was from the heart and was from his true to himself. Boom. Shane Douglas did the same thing in ECW. The franchise was not a character. That's who Shane Douglas was, and that's why it got over, and that's why it was so
big. It seemed real.
Yes!
And I think that's the thing with Ambrose that I like about Ambrose. You don't know... when everything feels phony and scripted, but when those two guys walked out and he said, so you're security this week, I think you were Rosebuds last week. There's this little thing in the back of your mind that tells you he wasn't supposed to say that.
Yeah.
He wasn't supposed, and that's what we like in wrestling.
Yeah.
We like that.
Yeah.
I like it when I think, wait a minute.
Is that real or not?
Johnny Valentine said it.
Yeah.
I can't make them believe wrestling's real.
Right.
But I can make them believe that I'm real.
Yeah.
And when he said that, there's a thing in the back of your mind that says, I don't think he was supposed to say that.
Yeah.
It was the same. And it makes you interested in what he has to say.
What made Randy Savage a should-be Hall of Famer was you were pretty sure it wasn't an act.
Yeah.
You were pretty sure that guy's crazy, and I don't know what he's going to do, and I don't know what he's going to say. I can't turn the channel.
Exactly.
I cannot turn the channel.
Because this might be the one time it turns into a real fight.
And even back on Saturday mornings watching wrestling, they would go out, and you didn't know what was going to happen next. They'd say, all right, coming up next, you're going to see so-and-so. Magnum T.A.'s going to wrestle. Oh, I don't know who Magnum T.A.'s wrestling. Now, more than likely, 99% chance he's going to wrestle somebody like Tony Zane or one of the Malkies. He's going to wrestle a jobber. But because Magnum T.A. didn't wrestle on television every week, I got wrestling at noon on Saturday. I got it at noon on Sunday, 2 hours a week. That's 10 segments of wrestling. And Magnum TA wasn't in five of them. Ric Flair wasn't in. Ric Flair of the whole weekend might be in two segments. And you did not know when they were going to be.
And Magnum TA might not be in another one for 2 or 3 weeks.
Yes.
And when Magnum TA come out, maybe there's a chance somebody... So I may not see a match between Magnum and Tully.
I may see a confrontation.
But I might see a confrontation between Magnum. And it might break down into a fight.
Right. And if the show ends with Bob Caudle, that's all the time. It's like, good gravy. I mean, as a kid, you're like, didn't you guys know this was going to happen? Can't you just... Can't you just leave the cameras on? You know, Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom is coming on next. Can you just push that back 10 minutes? Can you just run over your time allotment? Please. And then I would tune in next week. I'm like, well, I wonder who won that brawl. No mention of it.
And it made you want to watch. It made you want to tune in every week. I heard Dixie Carter say the other week that she thought one of the things she thinks that TNA needs is more hours of TV every week. Vince McMahon, we've just talked about the great roster of talent that they have, and I really believe that part of the problem is they're writing 3 hours of Raw, 2 hours of SmackDown. Yes. They got that main event show that they have to take into account. They're doing NXT, then they have the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Superstars yeah. and main event. It's too much, man.
Right.
It's too much. It's an overexposure. And if Dixie Carter thinks that with the roster that she's got, and there's some phenomenal talent.
Yes.
Don't
yes.
misunderstand what I'm yes. saying. But they're basically a bunch of guys that WWE doesn't want or right. has no interest in.
Right.
Now, does that mean they're not good? Absolutely not. They have so, they put on some great matches in TNA. But if Vince can't do it, there's no way TNA can pull off 4 hours of TV every week.
And that's,
they can't do two. If they could do 2 hours of TV well,
yeah.
I would say yeah.
Yeah.
But they can't even put together a good 2 hour show.
Nah.
How in the world do they plan on doing a four hour?
There was one week, I can't remember if it was before MVP turned heel or not. And he was literally in the first hour, he was in every segment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about Ric Flair. I'm not talking about Roddy Piper.
We're not talking about Hulk Hogan or Steve Austin or Bret Hart or Shawn Michaels.
I'm not even talking about John Cena. I'm talking about MV.
I'm not even talking about Zack Ryder.
MV flipping P.
Yeah.
Okay? That's who I'm talking about. So what I would say is if I were made the god of wrestling today, I would say...
You mean I'm not?
I would say you get 2 hours a week.
Yeah.
You spread them out every how you want to. You want to do 2 one-hour shows? Great. Because here's the thing. What used to happen, people were going to Greenville every Monday night. They were buying a ticket. They were going to Spartanburg. They were going to New York or Pittsburgh.
Portland.
Right, right.
St.
All
Louis.
Around the country.
Texas?
When they were in the territories, you had your territory. And your territory had all the cities they hit. So it didn't matter where you lived in that territory. They were coming fairly close to you, no matter where you lived in the country. Maybe unless you live in North Dakota or South Dakota, you kind of screwed on that. But they were going to come near you, and you were going to go put your butt in a seat. You were going to buy a ticket because even in your territory, they were on TV 1 hour a week, and you were going to go and see them. A lot of times what happened live at the arena – it didn't affect what was going to be on TV. You just right. went and saw matches, but you went because you wanted to see something. You wanted to see something there that you didn't get to see on TV.
Right.
Because Ric Flair didn't wrestle on TV, but he wrestled in Greenville every Monday night. You got to see him put the world heavyweight title on the line. And you thought that was a big deal because you thought, well, he's the champion.
Right.
He's the champion, and somebody's got to beat him. And... so now it's completely opposite. Instead of 7 house shows a week, we got 7 hours of TV. Because they make their money now not when you purchase a ticket, but when advertisers purchase spots on television. So it's become a money deal. And the way that wrestling makes money has changed completely at the top levels. And it... has nearly ruined what we love.
I have declared to myself pro wrestling's dead.
Really?
And then I started looking for real pro wrestling, and it's not dead.
It's not, yes.
It's alive, and it's thriving. It's just not on Monday nights,
yeah.
USA Network at 8 p.m.
Right.
That's sports entertainment. That's not pro wrestling.
Right.
But, man, there's some great, great pro wrestling out there. And I'll tell you what, I'm not going to spoil it.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, we got coming up an episode where we're going to tell you about some great yes. matches that are out there that you can find.
Yes.
Some of them might be a few years old.
Right.
But if you ain't seen it, it's new to you.
Here's the thing. As this show has grown and it's kind of evolved, Mark and I have kind of come to this point where I don't ever watch SmackDown. Do you watch SmackDown?
No, I never watch SmackDown anyway.
But for me...
I really am just not that big a fan of WWE anyway.
Right.
I'm not giving them 3 more hours of my time
right
now, and I certainly wasn't giving them 5 hours of my life.
I'm going to be honest. I tape Raw. I tape Impact Wrestling, and I tape Ring of Honor. And if I have to choose which one I'm going to watch, it's always without question. I watch the 1 hour of Ring of Honor. Because I haven't been overexposed to those guys over the last 10 right. years. They're not on TV 8 hours
a day. I haven't seen like Orton and Cena. How many times have those guys faced each other? And not just on pay-per-view.
Right.
Not just on Raw.
Right.
Not just on SmackDown. Not just on Main Event. Not just on Superstars when they show the clips. You know, how many times have those guys wrestled? What else can they do? And I tell you,
yeah,
I don't want to spoil talking about the matches that you need to see, okay? Right. But a couple of them that I watched, I noticed something. If you watch any John Cena, Randy Orton match, and especially something I've noticed with Cena, it's a 15-minute match of swapping each other's finish or hitting our finish, and then you kicking out, and then y'all hit my finish, then you kick out. A lot of these matches that I've been looking for and that I've been watching flip that on its ear, and they attempt their finish and have it blocked.
Mm-hmm.
And they attempt their finish in another way, and the guy moves, and they attempt it this way, and he gets out of it. So that rather than making their finish where it's null and void, when he actually hits his finish, it's a big deal.
Right.
And the place pops.
Yeah.
And I think that's their way to go. And I saw two matches that I'll talk about had that story that the guy kept trying to hit his finish because he knew when he did it was going to be over.
Yeah. Yeah.
But maybe they just, I don't know. That swapping finish things, I just don't.
But I say, I'll say one of our goals is this show is time. The most precious resource we have in life is time.
And Mountain Dew.
and so our time is valuable. And so we don't want you to feel like, well, I'm a wrestling fan. It's Monday night. I've got to watch Raw. No.
Yeah.
Turn it off. We're going to give you the alternative. We're going to give you links. When the first segment of Monday Night Raw is the same thing you've seen from the last 5 years, listen, DVR it. And then when you read the results and the spoilers, you can go back and watch it.
If something's good, I'll watch it.
Yes. But we're going to give you, like, if you want to fill your life with 5 hours, 6 hours, 7 hours of wrestling a week, through this show, we will give you enough links to find good wrestling where it's not just the same thing over and over, but it's guys you maybe have never seen before. Now, granted, the only word you might understand from the whole match is, Lariata! Lariata!
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Turn it down. I tell you what I ordered. I know I mentioned, did you see the match? Yeah.
Oh, my.
Because I want to educate myself.
Yes.
And educate you guys. I ordered a 10-disc set from High Spot of the greatest matches from 2000 to 2010. And you saw the list of these matches. I mean, it's 10 discs. I don't know how many hours this thing is going to be and how long it's going to take me to pour through it. But, man, I'm excited, and I can't wait to not only watch them but tell people where they can watch them.
Yes, yes.
Because there's some – we're talking guys before they made it to CM Punk's.
Right.
Evan Bourne's, and this is stuff from Japan, stuff from Mexico. And stuff. I mean – I'm excited about this set. I can't wait to get it, order some pizza, sit down and start watching this stuff, man.
Right.
It's going to be great.
And I was, you know, because there are some guys on there that I wouldn't assume you would be a big fan of, that their matches are on there, and I'm interested to get your take on some of those. Because there's a lot of guys right. that have not, you know, to me, there are some guys that because WWE doesn't want them, that kind of proves you're not good enough. There's some guys I think WWE's really missed the boat on.
Oh, I do too. Like Ricochet.
Yeah. If you heard Jim Ross's interview with AJ Styles, man, he goes on and on about saying, hey, we missed the boat
they
on
him. They did. And not on, well, they missed the boat on him recently because it's insulting.
Yeah.
To me, it's insulting to a guy who is, no pun intended, as phenomenal as AJ Styles is to want to put him on NXT and change his gimmick.
Right.
It's
right.
insulting.
Yeah.
Yes. He spent years building that brand,
right?
Building who he is and building his reputation by putting on 4- and 5-star matches every single time he went into the ring.
Yeah.
So you hear me be critical of guys who cut a lot of flips, and I call them spot monkeys. I'm critical of guys who do that because they don't know how to work.
Right.
Okay, I'm critical of guys that cut the flips and do the spots because they're afraid that if they leave a little bit of breathing room in their match that people will chant boring.
Right.
And they're not only that, like Magnum TA said this on Ross's podcast. I'll phrase it a different way. They're marks for hearing this is awesome.
Right.
They want that chant.
Yeah.
And they're marks for that.
Yeah.
And if all you can do is cut flips because you don't know how to work, right, I've got no interest in that. But if you know how to tell a logical story and you know how to put a match together and you can add those high spots, well, then I'm a fan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, then that's exciting for me. But if it's just, all right, let's do this spot so we can get to the next spot, I'll tell you, I got no interest in that.
Right.
But when you know how to work... Like, and I've said his name a few times. I don't like the way his face looks. And this is the only reason I don't like him.
Yeah.
It's Kevin Steen.
Yeah.
He does, and I don't mean that he's, I'm not talking about the way the guy looks, but he's got a baby face.
Yeah.
And he looks just like a guy you'd see walking around working, stocking the shelves at Walmart.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? He doesn't have a look or working in a tire factory like I do. Yeah. I'm not a, that's not a anything about working in Walmart. That's just what I mean. I mean, he'd just be a guy that you'd see where you work at.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't look.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why.
Like he has the it factor.
Right.
Like
Kevin, but he does if you start watching his matches.
Yes, yes.
He is incredible, man. And I was wrong about him.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness gracious.
I said.
Historic moment here.
I went back. I've been trying to. And he's got a DVD out, this guy, because I can't find the match anywhere.
Yeah.
The ladder match that he had with El Generico, which I hear is really good.
Yeah.
And I can't find it anywhere, but it's on a DVD that ROH sells, but it's all his matches and a shoot interview. Well, I'm not interested in the shoot interview.
Right.
I just want some matches. Yeah. And so if anybody knows of a compilation that exists with other stuff and that match, please let me know.
Have you heard the I'm sure you have. Have you heard the story about how he learned English?
No.
Watching wrestling, listening to Jim Ross.
Really?
Yeah.
Ah.
That's how he learned
English. Oh, that's cool, man.
So
he's a French Canadian.
Yes.
Really? I didn't know
that. Oh, yeah. He's a French
Canadian. Like, I'm just now opening my mind and saying I was wrong about this guy.
Yeah.
Now I want to find out about him. And I think he's a guy, like, you've seen Kenta and Devitt do their thing. I think that Kevin Steen's going to get a gimmick. I don't know that he's just going to be Stephen Keane.
Right.
I think they're going to take him away for a little while. He needs to lose a little bit of weight.
Right.
Not a lot of weight, because I don't think he's like morbidly obese.
And he can move pretty good.
He moves pretty good, but I can tell you, as a guy who is morbidly obese,
that wears you down.
It wears you down over the years. I could move pretty good when I was 30.
Right.
And I went to hike Table Rock the other day at 40, and I was like, I think, can we just go back to Aunt Sue's and get a sandwich?
Why were you trying to hike Table Rock?
Because I'm trying to get back in shape. And I
were you with your wife?
Yeah. And I needed
trying to spend the day to get
right. And I needed a gauge to how out of shape I was.
Did you make it to the top?
What do you think?
How far did you make it to Carrot Creek?
I don't know what Carrot Creek is, so apparently not.
That's the waterfall, right?
Yeah, I did make it there. I made it up that first real steep incline. You know what I'm talking? When you have to climb those steps that are like 3 feet up,
I have no desire.
I've walked it once.
I have too, and I have no desire to do it again.
I do have a desire to do it again, and a year from now, I want to do it.
Right.
And maybe not even a year. I mean, if I can be done by the spring, but I'm really, really making an effort to lose weight.
Yeah.
And I needed to gauge how out of shape I am. So I went, and I know nobody's going to care about this. There's another trail up there called the Lakeshore Trail that's about a mile and a half, a little over a mile and a half. And it's got some inclines, but it's not like strenuous like the Table Rock hike is. And I walked it. And I walked it in about an hour. You know, my wife and I did.
Yeah.
And so I felt good after that. But, yeah, I'm going to hit Table Rock again in the spring and see if I can tear up it. I don't know. Nobody's going
to
care.
I'm trying to remember the movie. There's a movie where, like, at the beginning or at some point, there's this one thing the guy can't do.
Mm-hmm.
And you see him training, and then at the end, maybe it was Rocky trying to outrace Apollo Creed, which talk about suspension of disbelief. Oh my goodness. There's no way on any. That would have been the result of the DX Nation of Domination.
Yeah, that's right.
It'd be Carl Weathers just blowing by us. Listen, I wanted to just take a moment. I don't want to take too much of y'all's time, but I do want to knock on TNA a little bit.
Okay.
And all I want, and again, this is not a knock on their talent. This is a knock really on how they do business. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. I've talked about it on social media. I just want to say, Bound for Glory, which is it's this Sunday. This episode's releasing on October the 6th. So this Sunday is Bound for Glory. It's coming from Japan. It's supposed to be their biggest pay-per-view of the year. Number one, they're doing it in Japan, so the time is all messed up. All right. Number two. The guy who's been your heavyweight champion for the last so many months is not going to be on the show. The guy that beats him, I don't know if it's on TV before or if it's on TV after Bound for Glory. I think they've taped through December already. I don't know. So Lashley's not on the card. Bobby Roode, who has been a cornerstone of TNA since day one. It is a slap in the face that he's not going to be on the show. And then the third guy who's been pretty much the last three world champions you've had of the last 7 to 8 months are not going to be on your biggest show of the year. I don't know what that means. That, to me, that's a mistake. In my opinion.
Yeah. I don't know the card. I don't follow. Here we go.
Lucky for you, Mark. So here's.
I had a feeling if I said that you'd.
So don't. Let me read the card. Now, this is the biggest pay-per-view of the year for TNA. They don't do.
Can I ask you this? Is Tanahashi on the card? Will you just tell me and then I'll shut up. You tell me who the card.
Negative.
Okay.
Because does Tanahashi wrestle with Wrestle 1? Or is he in New Japan or All Japan?
Yeah, he's New Japan.
So here we go. The first match, three-way match for the X Division title, in which the title has already changed hands before the pay-per-view, but hasn't aired yet, I believe. I'm telling you, if you read the spoilers, it's confusing.
Right.
So here's the match.
So they're building up to a card that hasn't happened yet.
Yes.
But they already, on the road, have people defending titles that they're going to win at Bound for Glory.
This is why
I don't watch TNA.
The only championship match is the X Division.
Okay, I got you.
And I don't know if it's filming before Bound for Glory or after Bound for Glory. Samoa Joe surrenders the title due to injury.
Gotcha.
I think that happens after Bound for Glory.
Let's talk about how bad booking can kill a guy.
Oh, my goodness. Least
Samoa Joe. He's a beast. He should have been it.
He could have been a contender.
God, if he'd have went to WWE, the matches him and Punk would have had. Because they had great matches in Ring of Honor.
Yes. Yes. And here's the thing. I understand.
They probably wouldn't have put them in the ring together.
No, but it's like, why can't you just take what happened in Ring of Honor, the letting the guys wrestle, and just let them do that on WWE TV?
Yeah.
But there seems to be this thing like, well, we need to mold you in our image. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you need to have a couple of signature moves and something we can put on a T-shirt and make an action figure out of, and work the camera, not four corners. You know,
when you train to work four corners, or
yeah. Well, you the four sides. I mean, right. You work the entire room. You don't work the camera.
Yeah.
If I had a training school today,
yeah.
Or if somebody was interested in getting in the wrestling business, I would learn to work a hard camera.
Yeah.
If you notice when we went to Charlotte,
mm-hmm.
and the matches they had that night, they had a hard camera set up and those guys worked it. I guarantee you that Tom Pritchard and Jerry Briscoe had something to do with setting that up.
Yeah.
Because they were learning to work that camera.
Right. Because they know to get to the next level,
you have to learn that part of it. Yeah. That's why they're sending a lot of them to NXT. That's the little things that they're teaching them, how to work that camera.
And again, their primary concern is how it looks on TV, not entertaining you at a house show where you bought a hard-earned ticket.
Right, right.
So here's the card. First match, TNA, X Division title, Low-Key, Kaz Hayashi, Samoa Joe. That could be a good match.
Oh, that's going to be a good
match. Going to be a good match.
Matter of fact, I brought you a DVD from ROH from years ago with Low-Key and Samoa Joe. Oh. Incredible match. Very hard-hitting match.
All right.
He's got to be good being my friend if you want good wrestling DVD.
Yes. Anyway, go ahead. I try to be a good friend. The next match is a
hardcore. You take care of me, I try to take care of you.
It's a hardcore tag team match, and I'm interested in this match. Great Muta and Tajiri versus James Storm and the Great Sonata.
Wow. Muta and Tajiri had some really good matches, and then they've teamed up, and they do this cool thing where they both put different color mists in their mouth.
Yeah.
And one of them gets in front of the other, and they spew the mist at the same time, and it just creates this awesome effect.
Yeah. And see, now, I think that's going to be a great
match. Yeah, I'd watch that match.
But is it going to help TNA in December that match is happening at their biggest pay-per-view of the year?
I got you. What else we got?
The next match, Team 3D versus Abyss and Tommy Dreamer.
Wait, when did Tommy Dreamer and Team 3D fall out? Because I thought they were all friends because of
It's Team 3D's last match. They're going into the TNA Hall of Fame, which is, you know,
yeah. That 75 cent will get you a couple of coffee.
Well, it's almost like the doctor telling you, hey, we got a big enough stool sample, we don't need it anymore. So the fourth match is Ethan Carter III versus Ryota Hama, who I've heard is like a big sumo type wrestler.
Okay.
He was supposed to wrestle, I may have this mixed up, and if I do, you come back, tell me that I was wrong. I can admit it when I'm wrong. But this guy was supposed to wrestle MVP.
You say I can admit when I'm wrong, with the implication being that I can't admit.
Did I say that? I
saw the, but I just admitted I was wrong about Kevin Steen.
Well, like,
all right, half an hour, 45 minutes
anyway,
ago.
I'm not looking. I mean, they've been building Ethan Carter III, whether you like him or don't. They've been building him. I think he's embraced his character. He entertains me because I don't like him.
Yeah.
And I don't like him because, for the right reasons.
Right. He's good. Yeah, I think he's pretty good. WWE, I think they let him go. Missed the boat on him. Anyway,
The next match.
And Rockstar Spud is the best thing on TNA.
He's so great.
Oh, he's incredible.
He reminds me
of you. I'm just kidding, man. I'm just kidding. The only reason I said that is I'm getting one shot in now before that final rant that I know is coming.
I may be cooled off before then. MVP versus Kazuma Sakamoto. I have no idea who that guy is. I could care less about that match. The next match.
Wait, who's Sakamoto facing?
MVP.
Okay, gotcha.
See, that might be a great match, but does it forward anything for the company?
Yeah, MVP had a good career in Japan. I mean,
well, okay,
some
okay.
Matches, then there may be some historical stuff there.
The next is Manic versus Minoru Tanaka. That'll probably be a good match. You know what's never a good idea? To have a character named Suicide. That's probably not a good idea.
Yeah.
The next one is a knockouts match, Havoc versus Velvet Sky.
Now, Havoc, I want to check her out, man. Jessica Havoc.
Right.
She's, I don't know.
She does not look like all
the divas. No. She's very, very unique. Very unique. And I want to find some of her matches.
And here is the last match of TNA's biggest pay-per-view of the year. Andy Wu and El Hijo del Pantera versus Novus, who is Hiro Kurashio and Yusaki Kodama.
Okay. I got to be honest with you. I'm more interested in watching that TNA pay-per-view than I've been in a TNA pay-per-view since Kurt Angle and Samoa Joe faced one another.
But it's for all the wrong reasons, correct?
Right, not because of the TNA guys.
It's because of the Japanese guys.
Right. So that's, man, that says a lot about your company. It almost says as much about your company as when you try to go on a nostalgia tour, you have to use guys from a company that you have nothing to do with and don't even have the legal right to use the letters ECW.
Right.
Because you haven't done anything in the past 10 years you've been in business to be able to create any nostalgia.
Create your own thing.
And that's because Dixie Carter said when people would question her knowledge about the pro wrestling business, she would tell them if they did it again, they'd be fired.
Oh, my.
So she's too arrogant.
Yeah.
To listen to anybody who tries to tell her any different. And like I said, she chose the one guy that everybody agrees is an idiot to listen to.
Now, this is just a rumor. I don't know how true this is. I don't pray for a lot of things in wrestling. I pray for a lot of things in life.
Right.
I tend to leave prayer and wrestling.
Yeah, I'm thinking God might have a couple of things going on that are a little bit more important than pro wrestling.
But this is one thing in this, and you may have heard the same rumor. There's a rumor that Jeff Jarrett's deal, Global Force Wrestling,
mm-hmm.
that their first thing is not going to be a GFW show. They're trying to bring New Japan's big show, which is I think January the 4th.
Is it the King of Pro Wrestling? No, that's next.
They're trying to bring it to American pay-per-view with American commentary.
Yeah, I've heard the same thing.
I'm praying that happens.
Well, I don't know if it's Global Force that's behind that.
I don't care who does.
But there is a lot of truth to the fact that they want to come on American pay-per-view with English broadcast. That is true. That is absolutely 100% true because the Ustream that New Japan uses... their contract is up.
Oh, wow.
And I think it was up at the Destruction of Kobe show, but I think they're going to go ahead and carry King of Pro Wrestling. But the next show, the following show, I don't know that they're going to carry it. That is true.
How much does it cost to get a New Japan show on you?
I'm not sure because I've just now started to get into checking it out, and I think it's usually about $15 or $20.
I'm telling you.
I'm going to buy King of Pro Wrestling, I think.
Yeah, I would love to.
If I can figure out how to pair it with my television where I can watch it across TV, then I think I'm going to buy it.
I can help you with that.
I'm sure you can. I know that I can plug it up. I mean, that's not what I guess I can just plug an HDMI cable in the side of the computer and hook it up to the TV, right?
Yes.
I can do. You know a better way.
No. That's
how you
were trying to hold out on you.
Oh, okay. You thought you were going to. Well, I've done it before. I mean.
The last thing I want to say today.
Okay. Oh, Lord. It's time for me to take my medicine.
We did a show, one of our first shows. We were talking about, I don't even know what we were talking about. Best tag team wrestlers. And I don't even know if it was that. It was so long ago.
I don't know. It was something.
And I just brought up the name Rick Martel. Now, Mark's breadth and width of wrestling knowledge goes far beyond anything I could ever hope to obtain. So when you're asking me, who are your top five favorite or top five tag team wrestlers, I'm only reading out of the table of contents and the first couple of chapters of the book. Mark's passed the index. He's back in the maps. He's read the whole book. He knows all.
I'm talking about Stevens and Bockwinkel, and you're talking about Rick Martel and Tito Santana.
So one 5-minute segment of hours of wrestling broadcast journalism, this vicious rumor has started. It has been perpetuated on the internet. And I don't know if you people know this. Once somebody posts something on Facebook or Twitter, they may hit the delete button. The NSA has that forever. It is possible that I may be questioned by the local and federal and world authorities once the NWO, the real NWO, takes over. And they're going to ask me, what's this deal about Rick Martel? And I want to say it. Do I regret bringing Rick Martel's name up? No. The man was a world champion. He may have done some favors for Bern Gagne to become the world champion. That's none of my business. But I want to say it definitively. in front of God and everybody, Rick Martel is not my favorite wrestler. And anyone who posts on the internet and tries to tell you otherwise, I don't care if it's Dave Meltzer, I don't care if it's Barack Obama, they're a liar and the truth is not in them. And for people to try to disparage my reputation as a man, as a Christian, and as an American, I think enough's enough. And I'm just calling everybody out. I mean, Mark has got a lawyer into this situation. He has told people that not only am I a Rick Martel fan, that I chose as an elective my freshman year of high school that when given the choice between flag football and ballroom dancing, that 14-year-old Heath Mulliken chose ballroom dancing. Folks, it's a lie. I was forced. Yeah, that's what our class was doing. I remember going up to Miss Hamby. Miss Hamby, that class is doing flag football. Why are we doing flag football? She said, well, you're not in that class, are you?
Because you signed up for this.
I didn't know we had a choice. I was trying to get all my credits in so I could graduate a year early. Which I didn't. Spent my senior year in creative writing with Mark and some other good friends. Spent the rest of my time in the student government office wrestling and watching wrestling and dreaming about what would one day become the greatest podcast about the wrestling you grew up with in the history of the world. Mark, do you have any rebuttals to my... Can we drop the Rick Martel?
Carrie Trainum.
Esquire,
who you brought up in the conversation about, go back and listen to it. You said, oh, you were in flag football with Gary Trainum, right? You made the statement.
He
you were in flag
Coach
football
class,
with
yes.
Gary Trainum. I said, yes, I was.
Yeah.
Gary listened to the show. He confirmed that it was, in fact, an elective.
Nah.
He... 2-1, boss.
Nah.
Listen, I'm putting the call out. All Pendleton High School 1993 graduates, let us know.
Yeah, listen.
Tracy Sanders, Brad Finley, I implore you.
You got to talk to people from that class. So that's Karen Payne.
So wait a minute. So what you're telling me is everybody else had a choice except for your class.
Our class did not have a choice. We were told we did aerobics and ballroom dancing. And we walked.
Did you wear leg warmers?
Huh?
Did you wear leg warmers and yoga pants when you were doing?
They had not invented yoga pants back then. Well, thank the Lord.
Well, I don't know. You know what? I don't know who did invent yoga pants, but right now, I'd like to raise a glass to that man and say thank you.
Listen. There's no need to bring up. That was 1989. Mark, that was 25 years ago. My memory,
it's foggy because you don't remember signing up and volunteering to do that.
I signed up for PE. That's all I know. I was assigned Cindy Hamby as my teacher and being the fine, upstanding student leader that I was. What my teacher asked me to do, I did. She asked me to do a kick-up. I did. Landed incorrectly. Ended my wrestling career. Still got 3 pinched nerves. Okay? Edge doesn't have anything on me. Ended my career before it started. So if anybody's got any reason to be bitter, okay, maybe it's not me, but who did you have for PE in ninth grade?
I don't remember.
And you...
Don't be mad because I cut a better promo than you. I got no idea, man. I don't know. I just remember playing flag football and basketball.
Yeah.
That's it. I do remember that.
I didn't get to do either.
I think I had Coach Hamby, sure enough. I know I had Coach
Hamby. Absolutely not.
I'm telling you, I had Coach Hamby and I had Coach Wood. I had them both at different points, but I don't remember. Because didn't we do half a year with one and half a year with the other? No. Yeah, we did.
No, we didn't. I did not have Coach Wood for – I did PE2 my senior year because it was an elective. That was an elective, and I chose to do that. I had Coach Wood.
We okay.
Weightlifting and training. It was weightlifting. We were either in the weight room or we were doing some other stuff.
Okay. I don't doubt that. Hey, I don't question whether you – so you chose weightlifting and training.
That was PE2. That's what it was.
Oh, okay. It was, I got you.
PE1 was a variety of things. It could be flag football for some people. Could be ballroom dancing for some people. PE2, everybody did the same thing because there was only one class.
I got you.
And it was all a bunch of seniors who were just – we had to have a class, and there it was, you know.
Yeah. I think I took that, too.
Were you in? I don't think.
I don't remember being. I don't know who was in the class, but I remember hanging out in the weight room.
I'll tell you this, folks. I think everything happens for a reason. And I think it may have been the powers of the universe that kept Mark. If Mark and I had been in that PE2 class together our senior year, this show would be a full nostalgia show of our wrestling careers last 20 years. Because had we been in that weight room together, and Mark seen my impressive physical prowess and knowing our love for wrestling, we would have pushed each other to the physical limits. We would have put our dating relationships aside. We would have put part-time jobs aside. We would have focused on the task at hand, and we would have been champions. Well, one of us was.
Yeah. I did wrestle and was a champion.
But if you'd have been in that match, yeah,
I'd have made some money at it.
So anyway, folks, what do you need to rant about? You know, this has been, I feel so much better. I feel like I have gotten so much out of my system. It's been good. And we hope it's been good for you. Because I hope that if you're listening to this driving down the car, please don't have a road rage incident. I hope you've been saying amen. And man, that's exactly how I feel. And Russo's an idiot. And that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Not of anything we said, but what we said. Anyway, Mark, do you have anything else you need to get off of your chest?
I do. Why do you like Rick Martel so much? I'm just curious. Why? What is it about Rick Martel? What is it about Rick Martel that you find so fascinating?
Can we end with this? I sent you this. It was midnight or something. We have a wrestling Facebook group, the wrestling you grew up with. So far, all the posts have been great.
Yeah.
Thank you for being a part of the conversation.
Check it out. If you're listening and you haven't, go join the group.
We are trying to make it a little bit different, okay, than some of the other groups. Because a lot of the other groups, they'll just throw up two guys and say, hey, who would win? All right, I'm going to go here, Mark. I know we're way over time. It doesn't matter. We own the show. We do what we want. You're putting two guys up there and you're saying, who would win? All right. It's a work. It's predetermined. It's not like you put up there, hey, who would win between Rocky Marciano and Mike Tyson? That's a real legitimate. If you put Johnny Valentine in there with Roman Reigns, somebody else is deciding who's winning the match. Now, if you say, hey, who would win behind the Circle K, Johnny Valentine and Roman Reigns, we could help you make that decision. Now, if you want to say, hey, if you were building a program toward this and Roman Reigns and Johnny Valentine wrestled, who would win? Who would you prefer to win? That's
right. What do you think about this matchup? That's what the kind of fantasy stuff I like to do. What do you think about this?
How would you book?
Right. How would this go down?
How would you book Johnny Valentine versus Roman Reigns and make it compelling and make it great? And one thing they would do is they would wrestle at house shows at seven different towns, and you wouldn't see it on TV until the big show. But another thing, and this is a guy put on there last night. He's like, hey, four-way tag team tournament. British Bulldogs.
Not in our group, by the way. Nobody posted this in our group.
British Bulldogs Rock and Roll Express, Hollywood Blondes.
Yeah.
Three of our favorites.
Uh-huh.
And then he threw in Strike Force.
One half of your favorite.
And I put on there, do you realize you put Strike Force in this match? And he put, well, yeah. And he didn't get what I was saying.
Right, right.
They're like, Joker, you could have put Arn and Tully. You could have put the Road Warriors.
You could have put the Midnight Express. You could have put the New Age Outlaws. Not one of the greatest of all time, but at least there's somebody.
Oh, my.
Strike Force.
Strike Force. I'm never going to live that down, and that's okay. That's okay. Because Rick Martel, that's a wrestling I grew up with, for better or for worse. You know, I'll never live it down, and that's all right. And Mark will never let me forget it. So make sure, go to doubledropkick.com. Join the conversation. Get rant. Go on our go on this post. You can rant there. You can go on our Facebook page. You can rant there. You can find us on Twitter. Mark, where can people find you on Twitter?
The DDK Show.
At Heath Mulliken on Twitter. Join the conversation.
And hey, join the group, the wrestling you grew up with on Facebook.
That's where the conversation's happening. If you're not there, that's not my fault. Is that your fault, Mark?
That's not my fault.
It's not Vincent Kennedy McMahon's fault.
A lot of things might be, but not that.
It's your fault. So get on there, and don't tell me you're not on Facebook. Don't tell me. You're on Facebook.
My daddy's on Facebook.
Yes, yes. Yes, he is.
I mean,
I'm trying to keep my parents off Facebook. I need
mine's
something.
On there posting pictures of me in blue tuxedos when I'm 6 years old.
And you gonna crack on me about Rick Martel. So anyway, hey, don't forget, check out the gimmick table as always for the Double Drop Kick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.